Imagine with me what is being described for us here. The first scene, Jesus gathering his disciples round and telling them the plan. Well, maybe not the plan writ large, but he tells them the part they're going to play anyway. They're given marching orders, but the rhyme and the reason for them are still somewhat murky. Go and get a colt, prepare a way, rally a crowd, ready the shouts. There's something important to accomplish on this particular day, on this particular road into this particular city. And somehow they have a part to play. And then a second scene, a horse stall. Go and get a colt, the disciples were told, and tell the owner the Lord needs it. The Lord needs it? The Lord needs it. What does the Lord need with a colt, the colt's owner must have thought. What a strange thing to say. I've never been asked to lend to the Lord before. What is this all about? Oh well, the Lord needs what the Lord needs, I guess. The third scene is a road, a footpath on the outskirts of Jerusalem. There is activity and commotion, the hurried frenzy of planning and the event about to happen. They're gathering for a procession. It's about to commence. Very deliberately, they're laying out their clothes on the pathway, along with the branches that they had cut and prepared. They're involved in something. They know, but what? It's something like a royal processional way that they're preparing, but why? It's the 118th psalm that they've taken up to sing, Hosanna! Save us! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. It is a royal psalm, a messianic psalm. The next line of it reads like this, bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God. I will give thanks to you. You are my God, and I will extol you. One wonders what they thought they were doing. Every one of these scenes in this Palm Sunday passage begs for the question, why? Does anyone here know why? The disciples, the colt owner, the branch choppers and garment layers, the Hosanna singers? Does anyone here besides Jesus know why? Palm Sunday is the day that we take up our part in the processional, where we take up our palms and wave them high and lay them down, where we imagine that we too are somewhere in this last scene. And what do we imagine that we are doing here? You know, there's one big difference between what is happening in Mark chapter 11 and what happens, say, in a movie or in a play. Both are scripted events, first of all. Jesus seems to know exactly what he's doing. He's orchestrating all of these events and all of these parts. In a play or in a movie, though, the actors all get the script beforehand. They get to read it through and see the big picture. They get to see how their roles fit into the story so that they can imagine better the part that they're going to play. But here at this Palm Sunday processional, it's not clear that anyone knows what is really going on besides Jesus. It seems as though these actors are playing roles that they haven't fully understood just yet. Consider these branch layers and Hosanna shouters. You have to imagine that they believe they're doing something significant. You have to imagine that they think they're ushering in a king. He's adorned and he's seated. He's being greeted with fanfare. They created this path where the very hooves of the colt itself are prevented from touching the soil. It's allowed to walk upon their own coats and garments to prevent its feet from touching the ground. And the song that they sing from the psalm tells its own story. Save us. Save us. Save us, Son of David. They're welcoming a king who can save us. Hosanna, that's what the word means. Save us. These are people with high expectations. These are people who believe they are acting in a plot line that would end much differently than this week in Jerusalem was going to end. I wonder, by week's end, where had all those Hosanna singers disappeared to? It seems that they gave up their roles midstream. Where did all of these people go? These people who were announcing the triumph of a king one day, and just 4, 5, 6 days later just became faces blending into a crowd. Were they, I wonder, part of the crowd that cried out for Barabbas? Were they in the anonymous crowds that watched as Jesus was led between jail cell and courtroom, between Pilate and Sanhedrin? Where did these people run off to? We give a glimpse later in the week of two of Jesus' more famous fair weather friends, Judas, who became famous as the one who betrayed him, Peter, the one who denied him. And still he broke bread with the one and made a chief apostle out of the other. But maybe the point here is that these two aren't so unique in their betrayals after all. Where had all of these Hosanna shouters run off to? Perhaps Jesus is the only one who knew the plot on Palm Sunday, because if anyone else had known, he would have never been able to cast those roles. Because you see, what appears at first as triumph and celebration ends up in a rather bitter sort of irony. All of these people go missing. All of these people give him up and betray and deny. All of them are like Judas and Peter, except that they're mercifully allowed to remain anonymous for the ages. When they wave their palm branches, we get to see. We who know how the story unfolds, that is, we get to see by the time this story is all over, everyone, is going to be in need of a very different sort of saving, a different sort of Hosanna. None of them, none of us, will ultimately be allowed to gloat or revel in a triumphalist hosanna, all of them will ultimately meet at the foot of the cross, awaiting Easter's restoration. You know, Palm Sunday and Holy Week aren't so much a transition out of the Lenten season of repentance and contrition as much as they are the culmination of it. Because on Palm Sunday especially, we realize how ironic and empty our palm waving can be. We realize that we are also part of this crowd of Hosanna shouters that all went missing by week's end. It's just that we're the lucky ones in some ways. No one will say our names 1,000 years from now in the same sentence as Judas's or Peter's. If anything, Church, Palm Sunday provides us with an important opportunity to intensify our Lenten introspection and ask ourselves truly, where have I gone missing in the crowd? Where has my virtue signaling and palm waving run out with painful irony? When we look around at our world today, where has the church gone missing, disappeared into the crowd? Do we wave our branches and come out of hiding when the going is easy and the road ahead is looking promising for us? When the topic of faith and freedom, for example, we feel like we're playing a winning hand. But where did we disappear to when it comes time to boost the minimum wage? Or take care after the at-risk foreigner in our midst? Are we today watching silently in a crowd as the young children today cross our southern border, walking through tragedy and from truly heartbreaking circumstances? I wonder if we have been the church for them, or just Hosanna singers hiding in a crowd. For our Asian American brothers and sisters who have been awfully scapegoated for coronavirus, even just with slogans, but increasingly often, as we saw just last week, with violence and intimidation. I wonder, have we been the church for them in their time of need? Through our voices, through our actions, through our unwillingness to subscribe to the false politics of blame, have we been the church for them? Or has our palm waving and Hosanna singing rung empty like it did on that original triumphal entry? I wonder. You know, Palm Sunday is the day of days for the church to take stock of where we are in the crowd, so to speak. We know throughout our history that our hosannas have so often rung hollow. Lord, we know. We know, Lord, we know that we have gone along with atrocities. We know, Lord, we know that we have birthed evil and created obstacles to impair the success of our very own mission. Lord, we know. We know where we have been on slavery and on racism. We know that we have been a part of economic exploitation and war for profit. We know, Lord, we know that we have been fair weather friends to the outcast and the orphan, the widow and the alien. Palm Sunday is not truly a triumphal Sunday. It is a day that ushers us to the foot of the cross with painful irony. Every waving palm is an admission of guilt, an acknowledgement that I am part of the crowd that went missing. Lord, we know. It is a difficult sort of entry into a week we call Holy Palm Sunday. Because on the one hand, those palms call for celebration and praise. They invite us to be part of the crowd as the crowd imagined itself to be on that triumphal day. But on the other hand, they put in our hands a reminder of how they and how we have gone missing. Lord, we know. This year for Palm Sunday, we're inviting all of you to come by the church, to take a palm which you'll be able to find in a bucket out by the prayer garden, by the cross, and to weave that palm leaf onto the cross as an expression of our intention to retrace our steps in this fateful week. When we weave them this year into the cross, I hope that you will not only do that as a signal of joy and celebration for the coming of Easter, but even more so, with a view toward the Hosanna shouters and the palm branch wavers that first sang and wave and then went missing. We all go missing. We all sin. We all fall short. We all betray our Lord. But finally we meet at the cross. Not with our own shouts of glory and triumph, mind you, but in the hope and assurance of Jesus' triumph. All of God's people said, Amen.